With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
The Bucks game is over. And now, it's time for the longest-running Pro Hoops post-game show in Milwaukee. Hear from the players.
The most important thing, we trust one another. What happened, we trust one another, and that's why we came up with the win.
The head coach.
This is no secret. He works extremely hard. He has a tremendous will to win.
And the fans.
We have some talented players, no doubt about that. But at the end of the day, you're not going to be able to compete at this level of the NBA with what we have going on.
This is the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show, presented by Palermo's Screamin' Sicilian Frozen Pizza. Now, here's Steve Sparky Pfeiffer on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right, Bucks fans, that is a victory in the books. Bucks still undefeated. Now 2-0 on the season. Are your Milwaukee Bucks good to be a Bucks fan tonight? Obviously, while everybody is watching the Brewers, the Bucks got their business done tonight. Giannis is going to average a double-double, I think, isn't he? I mean, doesn't it seem pretty obvious based on how this looks and how they're playing as far as defensively with Brook Lopez? As everybody says, well, he's not going to get any rebound, Spark, but his body's going to go on somebody else's body, and that's going to free up somebody to get the rebound. So, okay. Well, then, if his body is on somebody else's body, then exactly the body who he's supposed to be on, who's on that body at that moment in time? I'm not quite sure how that whole thing works, to be honest with you. But 26 points, 15 rebounds for Giannis tonight, 5 assists, couple steals, a block, 6 turnovers for Giannis in 32 minutes. 12 of 23 from the field, 0 of 7 from three-point land, 2 of 3 from the free throw line, I should say, for Giannis. Side note here, can we please not play him in a blowout at the end of a game? Please? I mean, I understand he got his fourth foul, and he was begging to stay in again like he did in Charlotte, begging Budenholzer to play. I get it. I understand. The guy wants to play, all right? I understand it. I appreciate it. I'm down with it. But dude, you're up 18, 20 points in the closing minutes of this game. He did not have to be in this basketball game. If something happens to that guy in the last 2 minutes of this game because he wanted to be in and you couldn't tell him no, this fan base is going to lose their mind if that happens. Do we understand? Lose their mind. Without further ado, let's go inside the box.
How did tonight's game add up? Let's go inside the box score. Brought to you by ABC Audio Video, home entertainment and commercial audio video. Simply done right. ABCAudioVideo.com. This is the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show, presented by Palermo's Screamin' Sicilian Frozen Pizza.
118-101, Bucks over the Indiana Pacers tonight. We go inside the box score. Chris Middleton, 31 minutes of action tonight, 7 of 15 from the floor, 5 of 9 from three-point range, 4 of 6 from the free throw line for Chris Middleton. 23 points, 4 boards, 4 assists, a steal, and 3 turnovers for Middleton. Went over Giannis's numbers just a couple seconds ago. Brook Lopez, 22 minutes, 3 of 10 from the floor, 2 of 8 from three-point range. They took 15 threes between Giannis and Brook Lopez. Just let that sink in, because that's apparently how they're going to play this year. 8 points, 3 boards, 2 assists, 1 block shot for Brook Lopez in 22 minutes. Eric Bledsoe, 26 minutes, 5 of 9 from the floor, 2 of 5 from 3-point range, 12 points, 6 boards, 7 assists, couple of steals, couple of block shots for Bledsoe. Brogdon, 27 minutes, 6 of 9 from the floor, 2 of 4 from 3, 1 of 1 from the free throw line, 15 points, 4 boards, 7 assists, a couple of steals, and a couple of turnovers. Let's go to the bench, leading the way with minutes played tonight. Ersan Ilyasova back with the Bucks, 1 of 3. That one shot that he made was a three-pointer.
He also had 3 rebounds, a steal, a block, and 1 turnover in 24 minutes of play. 22 minutes for John Henson. He played well tonight. 3 of 7 from the floor. 2 of 3 from three-point range.
He was 2 of 3 from three-point range. That's John Henson. Okay. 2 of 4 from the free throw line. 10 points, 9 rebounds, 3 block shots for John Henson. 20 minutes for DiVincenzo. Wasn't nearly as good as he was the previous game in the game one, but 2 of 5, 1 of 4 from three-point range, 3 of 4 from the line, 8 points, couple of rebounds, 1 steal, 4 turnovers for DiVincenzo. 18 minutes for Tony Snell, 4 of 7 from the floor. Hey, he hit a couple of threes, 2 of 5 from three-point line for Tony Snell, 0 of 1 from the free throw line. 10 points, couple boards, 1 assist for Snell tonight. Then there is 6 minutes played for Christian Wood, 0 of 1 from the floor, 1 of 2 from the free throw line. He had 1 point and 1 rebound and 1 turnover in 6 minutes. 4 minutes of action for Connaughton. He had 0 of 2 from the floor, 0 of 1 from 3-point range. He did have 1 assist. Sterling Brown, 1 of 1 from the floor in his 4 minutes of action. He had 2 points on the night. Matthew Dellavedova, who did not play in the last game because of coach's decision, 0 of 1 in 4 minutes. He also had 1 rebound for Dellavedova. 47.3% from the field for the Bucks, 43.7% for Indiana, 36.2% shooting on 17 of 47 threes for the Bucks. From three-point range, Indiana took only 18 threes, made 6 of them. Free throw line, 13 of 21 from the free throw line. That's not good. You have to get much better at the free throw line there. 19 of 27 for Indiana. Bucks out-rebound the Indiana Pacers tonight, 50 to 41. Assists, 27 for the Bucks tonight, only 14 for Indiana. 9 steals to 7, Bucks advantage there. Block shots, 8 for the Bucks, led by John Henson's 3 block shots to only 3 for Indiana. Turnovers, 17 apiece for the Bucks and the Pacers. Bucks win 118 to 101. And again, they are now 2-0 on the season, 1-0 at their new Bucks Arena as it opened up tonight. My question for the beginning of this evening's show is a rather simple one. A rather simple one. It's not all that difficult to figure out. I simply want to know 2 positives that you have. I want to know the positive that you've taken away from this Bucks team after 2 games. You know, what's that one thing that you're really excited about what you've seen in the Bucks after 2 games? And those of you leaving the arena or those of you listening, whether you're streaming us or listening on 105.7 FM The Fan or AM 1250, I want to know 1 positive or good thing that you like about the new Bucks arena as well. So 1 positive about the team after 2 games and 1 positive about the new arena that you're really digging about the new arena. 414-799-1250, 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Marcus, it seems to me this has been a decent deflection game.
What defensive play stood out?
Giannis knocks that away from Love right at the rim.
Here's the Laborers Local 113 defensive play of the game. The Laborers Local 113 Milwaukee. Feel the power at LIUNA113.org. This is the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show, presented by Palermo Screamin' Sicilian Frozen Pizza.
Bucks get the win tonight, 118 to 101. This is not very professional what I'm about to do, but I'm going to do it anyhow. Our guy John McDonough creates all these opens and stuff.
Yeah.
I love these opens this year, man.
It sounds cool, dude.
It sounds way better than we've had in the past.
Cool.
Doesn't it sound good?
It does. And I didn't know it was coming either.
I haven't heard them, and I'm just playing it for the first time as we're playing them on the air.
It's fresh.
I like it. It's way, way better. So much better. So good job. New arena, new imaging on the postgame show. It's all good. 118-101 Bucks over the Indiana Pacers. Bucks now 2-0 on the year. Giannis leads the way, 26 points, 15 boards, 5 assists, couple steals, block shots, 6 turnovers, 0 of 7 from 3-point range for Giannis in 32 minutes of play. But we're talking about the defensive play of the game. He did have a block shot. He did have a couple of steals. But Anthony Mandela, producing the show tonight, might have a different idea of what we're going to do for defensive play of the game.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of defense into offense, and it was Giannis on the offensive end, but it was Bledsoe with the pick setting it up.
Bledsoe the pick. Oh. And the 3. Yes! Back flush.
There you go. That is your defensive play of the game as the Bucks win 118 to 101. Steve Sparky, 5 with you, asking you, Real simple things, right? Number one, what positive, what thing do you really like about this team so far? And the second thing, what do you really like about the new Bucks Arena so far? Those of you that are leaving the Bucks Arena tonight want to hear from you. 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Tweet us at 1057 FM, The Fan. JS tweets at The Fan and says, Bucks starters tonight, 25 assists. Pacers starters tonight, only 4 assists on the night. We went over that during the box score. And that is something that we want to continue to see. I thought the ball movement was really good in the beginning of that Charlotte game against the Hornets. And then I thought it kind of tapered off a little bit there in the second half. And it became kind of standing around watching Giannis play around the rim a little too much. But tonight it was real nice. And I think they learned a little bit of a lesson from that Charlotte game. I'm not saying they went insane and had that Charlotte game, thought they had it, but Kemba Walker took over. And the one thing you did not want to have happen is you did not want to have Victor Oladipo take over tonight for the Indiana Pacers. And if you look at the Pacers box score, for instance, Oladipo had 25 points. Fine. 10 of 23 shooting. That's fine. He can have his. No big deal. But you didn't give up huge games to anybody else. McDermott had 14, 4 of 6 from 3. Dozen points, 13 rebounds for Sabonis. I think that dude is going to be a monster at some point. Bogdanovich was awful. For them, 0 of 7. Miles Turner, $72 million man, extension he just signed. 11 points, 4 boards, totally overpaid. Said that when they paid him earlier this week. That was a horrible deal. When you look at it from that perspective, I think the Pacers are deep. I think the Pacers are going to be tough to deal with in the East throughout the remainder of the year. But I just think the Bucks can stay healthy. We made our predictions on the big show earlier this week. And when was it? Maybe not so earlier this week. Was it Wednesday? Yeah, it was Wednesday. Wednesday on the big show. And I said 52 wins. And by far, I was the highest win total on the big show. I think Rami Makhlouf said 46 or 48, something along those lines. And I believe Leroy Butler said 38 wins for the Milwaukee Bucks this year, which was meant with a lot of groans and head shaking like Mandela just did when I just mentioned it on the air from Leroy. But again, when you look at this Bucks basketball team, a lot of veterans on this team, right? Everybody in the starting lineup's a veteran. You're not really playing with any youth at this moment in time. Brogdon, Bledsoe, Lopez, Giannis, Middleton, all vets. Now look at the rotation behind them. Henson, vet. Snell. Now, I'm not sure how long he'll be in this rotation, but providing he stays in the rotation, vet. Ersan Ilyasova, vet. Then you're talking about DiVincenzo. So you have the young guy there. For the time being, as long as he can maintain Coach Bud's faith in him, as long as he can do that, he'll stay out there. So really, you got really one young player out there with a bunch of veteran players around him. And that is just a huge thing. You know, all this talk of, oh, they're so young, and oh, the Bucks are young. Oh, give them time. Giannis is only 23. All that stuff is done. It's all done. This whole, the future, own the future. That's all done. There is no more own the future. We've done own the future. The future is now. Plain and simple. You have your new arena. You got your new digs. You got your superstar in Giannis. Once in a generation type player. You got everything. It's all lining up. It's now or never. It's just that simple. And it's not just about regular season wins. It's about winning in the playoffs. That's what this year is about. Said it before. I don't care how many wins they have in the regular season. I don't. They could win 60 games, and I would say, that's nice. What are they going to do in the postseason? You have to win in the playoffs this year. You have to win at least a round for this year to be successful. And I'm going to be on that all year long. It's nice they win a lot of games. I'll be happy if they win a lot of games. Make for happier post-game shows. But at the end of the day, this team will be judged on postseason success this year. Plain and simple. There will be nothing else to judge it on. Bucks win 118-101. Want to know two things. One, what are you really liking about this team after a couple of games? And two, those of you that have been to the new arena so far or leaving the arena tonight, what do you really like about the new arena? 414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Trell, Northside, you're first up on the postgame show. What's up?
What's going on, Sparky?
You tell me.
You know, think it's going to be a really good season for Milwaukee in general. I think the Brewers are going to handle their business, and I think the Bucks, they're definitely going to get out the first round, I think, but I think there's a good chance they get to the Eastern Conference Finals because I think they're going to win a Central Division, and they're going to be battling with Indiana. I think they're going to be two teams battling, but I think the Bucks are going to win the division, and that's going to put them in one of the top-tier seeds. And then, you know.
Well, remember, division titles don't mean anything anymore. It's simply the four best records.
I still think if you win a division, you're still going to get a top four seed.
Not necessarily. You could have two great records in one division that end up being at the three and the four, and the other division might have to be on the road. Yeah, it's not guaranteed anymore like it used to be. Now it's based just on record.
Right?
Huh?
It's only three divisions, though, right?
Right. Exactly. Yep.
So that still gives you a spot. I don't think they're going to fall behind not having home court in the first round. But I would say this as far as Budenholzer, and I'm even counting the preseason. What he's doing with the offense and the way that this team has responded, I think they were number one, and I think they were number one in scoring in the preseason, and now the first two games they've been way over 100.
Right.
That's a great thing. We haven't seen that when Kidd was the coach. That didn't happen. So for him to already have that format down, I think that's something good to see.
This is the thing, and I said this earlier this week. I'm not a big fan of watching just guys chunking threes. I'm not there. And I heard Silver on the Fox Sports broadcast with Marcus Johnson and Jim Paschke. And they brought up how many teams attempted however many threes per game and how many more teams would probably do that this year. And the Bucks set a team record tonight for attempted threes in a game and all that fun stuff. I guess it's nice, right? You watch guys just go down the floor, chuck up threes and everything else. I just don't know if long-term, if that's what this league becomes, if that is going to hold people's attention. Maybe it will. I don't know. But shooting 45 threes, man,
That's what the league is.
I know what it is. And part of that is because of the international flavor that's come in.
Yeah.
And you've got these skilled big men that can do everything now. And Silver said specifically, I wish I would have cut it, said pretty much, the way it is right now, you have to be a skilled big man to play. You can't just physically dominate somebody and be lacking other skills and be able to kind of bully your way into points. Look at Shaq. I mean, right. So the Dwight Howard, those days are pretty much done in the league. That's pretty much what Silver said.
Yeah, I think the Bucks tried to fight that tendency for a long time with Kidd as a coach and tried to say that they were really good at doing twos, so they were going to try it, and they were always behind the eight ball because they were letting their opponents shoot multiple threes. So I think we got better shooters this year. I like the rookie. I like them getting Ersan. Lopez can stretch the floor. They got that Pat Mahakini guy. I like that. I just think with what Budenholzer does and what he's trying to get these guys to buy into and continue to repeat, so it becomes second nature. I think it's something great. And just to see this team being over 100 like that, you know, 115, 118, 113.
Yep.
That shows great things to come. So
yeah, they're going to
– they win a whole bunch of games.
They should win a whole bunch of games. But, again, it's going to come down to postseason. Trev, you been in the new arena yet?
I have, but not for a game. I went to the Kevin Hart concert.
How was it?
I like it. I didn't get to see how the arena was going, the format was going to look because they had all that stuff boxed in.
Right.
Because of the stuff, but I will be at the games. I have to work. I'm probably going to try to catch a game in the next couple of weeks.
Do you have season tickets or do you buy them just a game at a time?
I buy them. Sometimes I do 10 packs, but I work so much right now, I'm probably going to pick
a certain amount of tickets. I don't know if you heard the big show today, but I went online during the game. Or during the big show, because people were saying you could get lower bowl seats for like $40 on different scalping sites. For today's game, the home opener, the first game in the arena. I was like, oh my God. So I went online to look. So I went to like SeatGeek to go check. That's the site Bart always pimps or whatever. So I went and checked it out. Man, you can get tickets for $8 for Monday's game in the upper deck. You can get tickets for $25 in the lower bowl.
Wow.
On Monday night against the Knicks. And that's not the only one. There's a bunch of them all lined up. Lowest ticket price, like $8 on these resale sites.
Yeah, I definitely will be there.
So I'm just...
Sparky, let's hope that, Budenholzer, when he had a little talent in Atlanta, He did lead them to the number one record. I mean, I'm not saying that
60 wins. Yeah.
But if he can pull off something like that and get this team to win a whole bunch of wins and they have home court, you never had a player as good as Giannis to be able to, you know, catapult a team. So
have to win the postseason.
See what happens.
Yep, Drill, thanks for the call. No doubt. Have to win in the postseason. That's all I'm going to continue to say. I'm going to enjoy the wins. I'm going to enjoy it quite a bit. And we'll have Coach Budenholzer coming up here in just a second. Just got the audio sent to us from Cody Grant, doing a great job down at the arena. Hey, Sparky, got an email here from Dave emailing the show. So good to hear you back on the air. My two positives about the team thus far. Defensively, Coach Bud has them staying home, clogging lanes, not running halfway across the court to defend threes. Offense, moving the ball, waiting for good looks, more three-point centric. And to both of those points, David, I would say, yeah, you're 110% correct. No doubt about it, right? They're not playing hair on fire defense anymore, which is a very welcome sight for me personally. Like that a lot. Offensively, definitely moving the ball for sure. And definitely more three-point centric. No question about that either. Two positives about the 4-1 Forum, as he's calling it, and a lot of other people are as well. Food options, much more diverse and tasty, plus emphasis on local businesses. Correct. Seats. I love the black seats when the arena is empty. There were a lot of empty seats today at that game. I don't know how closely you were paying attention, but when they were doing wide shots, there were a lot of empty seats that I saw. And that explains why all these tickets were available on the resale sites. Great win listening to your post game after switching over to the crew with the audio off. That's how you do it, David. Thank you very much. Got the Brewers on silent, like we do here in the studio. Both TVs and the ABC audio video flat screens. And talking some Bucks basketball as they get a much-needed win at home on the home opener. You don't want to open up a brand-new arena and get a loss to start things off in the new arena. It's bad enough Miles Turner has the first bucket in that arena's history. I didn't realize, Ted Davis mentioned this in the broadcast, Ray Allen has the first points in Phillips Arena in Atlanta. I wasn't aware of that. Mandela, did you know that?
No.
Yeah, he scored the first points in that arena, kind of like Miles Turner scored the first points in the Bucks' new arena to this point. Have you been to the new arena yet?
Yeah, I was there for a couple of weekends ago when they had that free scrimmage going on.
I was there as well.
Yeah, that was my first look. I wasn't able to make it for when they had the grand opening open to the public behind the scenes. I was here for Brewers coverage all day.
Right.
But it was cool, man.
Okay.
It was cool.
All right. So tell me what you liked of the new arena.
Top three things I would say that, I don't know the actual term for it, that skywalk they have on the outer level where you can go outside and look over the city.
Right.
I like that. I really liked the aspect of being able to look through from the concourse out into the stands.
Yes, that's kind of like the Miller Park deal.
Yeah, that was super cool. Not that you could necessarily see the game, but it just felt like you were more in an environment than walking through a hallway the way you did at a Bradley Center, where you felt like you were in two separate buildings sometimes.
Right.
Because the concrete was so thick and the lighting was so dull that you didn't even realize you were there for a special event half the time. You might as well have just been walking around school or something.
Right.
Those two things. And then we actually, and this isn't something I found out after the fact, it's not open to the general public. But for certain seat holders in the lower seats of that lower bowl, they have a thing called the Mezzanine Club.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you got a chance to check it out. It was open for that scrimmage.
Okay.
And it's super cool. They got bars lined up all around. They got hand-painted like action portraits of all sorts of Buck legends going all the way around on the inside.
Nice.
So if you ever get a chance, I don't know what the requirements are, like if it's the first 20 rows, first 10 rows, whatever it is. But if you can get your hands on those kind of tickets, it was cool in there. It was really cool.
I found seats third row behind the basket for a game Monday night for $170.
That's not bad.
That's dirt cheap compared to what the face value on those
tickets
are.
That's what I'm saying. For that to be that close to the action for that much money.
It's like CCC, three Cs.
Yeah, and I don't necessarily know what those things go for face value, but the most I've ever paid for a ticket to any sporting event was to sit behind a pole in the 2011 NLCS, and that set me back $140.
Oh!
Yeah.
To sit behind a pole.
Yeah. It said specifically on the ticket, unobstructed view, and then we got there, and there was a pole. You couldn't see first base. That sounds, what I'm getting at is that sounds like a great deal, and there really is no bad seat in the house. I walked around. I went to the very back row on the top level. Just trying to see.
That's where I was too. I was up there.
I was just walking around, and I just thought, this looks like it could be the worst seat in the house. Let's see what the view is like. And it was great.
Yeah, I sat.
It really was great.
I sat, like, the last couple of rows in the lower level where you walk down, sat there for a little while watching the scrimmage. And then we walked around that whole level, and then we went up to the next level, and we did the same thing. So we went to the Panoramic Club, and then we walked over and sat in the very top row of the upper deck as well and sat there. And it does feel high, but it doesn't feel Bradley Center high.
No, it doesn't. It's not as steep.
It doesn't seem as
steep. It's steep,
not
but
bad.
It doesn't feel like you're going to fall forward out onto the floor.
Well, and part of the reason is because there's not as many rows in the upper deck of this one.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a handful of rows up there. All the seats are in the lower bowl. That's where it all is. And the one thing that I realized was, when you're at the scrimmage, because I thought that was going to be packed.
I thought it was going to be packed too, especially because it was free.
Right. So I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, oh man, we're not going to get here. It started at what, like 11?
Yeah, I think doors opened at 11 and it started at noon or whatever it was.
So we roll in at like 11:30 and I'm going, dude, we're so screwed. We're going to end up parking somewhere. Man, we pulled right into that parking garage that's connected to the arena and there was nobody there. Paid $10 or whatever it was,
yeah.
And then took the skywalk over. And if you take the skywalk over and you come up to the first, well, they're not really tickets, they're just scanning cell phones now, but you walk up and you see it, I'm like, this doesn't even look like a damn stadium. It looks like I'm walking into some side door of a hotel lobby or something when you walk in.
When you come in from that skywalk, they funnel you one way for the general person admission, but then to the other direction will lead you to that mezzanine club I was talking about. There's like a small escalator staircase thing.
Yeah.
That'll take you up there.
And I clearly did not go up there then.
Yeah.
For sure.
We stumbled upon it by accident. We didn't know there was anything back there. We saw a lady go through there with like a bowl of mac and cheese or something.
Really?
And we just thought, wonder where that goes. Let's see if they stop us. We just walk right in.
Just walk it in.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
It was cool.
Yeah. There are a lot of cool things. My only thing that I didn't get, and maybe it's fixed now, we walked around that entire place twice. And we were in a hurry because my nephew's birthday party was in Elkhorn that afternoon. So we were just coming to check out the arena, basically. Watch a little scrimmage. We're out. We walk around twice. I go down to the team store on the main level. I ask the dude, I'm like, hey, man, where's this Chick-fil-A at? And dude's like, I don't know, roof? And I was like, roof? I said, damn, I didn't know we had a rooftop restaurant. I said, well, cool, man. I'll have to figure out how to get up to the roof.
Now that I think of it, I never saw it in there.
So he starts laughing, and I'm laughing because he didn't know. So then walk into the team store, walk around, don't buy anything. Everything's really expensive. Walk back out. Dude's like, I got you. I know where it is. And I said, all right, where? He's like, you just go up this escalator, next level, go right. It's right there. I'm like, man, I was just there. Ain't no way it's there. I'm like, okay. So we go up the escalator. We go right. Nothing. I'm like, man, it ain't there. So then I go and I find this girl, right? Some member of the arena staff and like the concourse. I was like, hey. I said, dude down there told me if I came up the stairs, I went right, I was going to find this restaurant. I don't see it. She goes, oh, yeah, it's labeled the Fry House. What? She goes, yeah, that's it.
That's what it is?
That's it. But they're not serving their food today for the scrimmage. They're not serving their food today. But that's where it is.
So it's like, is it like the kind of thing where like they're providing the food, but they're not using their brand kind of thing?
Well, dude, they sent it
like,
out.
How does that work?
They sent this out to everybody. So I don't know if that Fry House side is coming down and they're putting up the actual real
side.
Like
it was a placeholder kind of thing?
Maybe. I don't know.
I
wasn't there tonight, but if anybody could actually, you know, tweet me a picture of what that sign was, if anybody took a picture, I'd love to see it. Because if that's how it's going to be going forward, nobody's going to know it's there. Nobody's going to have any idea that it was there. Not a clue in the world. All right, let's go to Eric in New Berlin. You're next on the fan. What's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Yeah, good Bucks win tonight. I mean, good. You can't ask for a better start. Obviously, 2-0 and win at home here. But it is hard to get fired up with. I mean, to be honest right now, a lot of people are watching Brewers.
Yeah, Brewers are doing well, too. A couple runners on right now. Nobody out. Up 5-2 for the Brewers. And we'll have that post-game show with Tim Allen and Baby Tausch immediately following that one as well. So two post-game shows tonight, Bucks first, then the Brewers.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to both. I'm going to call into that show. But, yeah, I just there's so much going on in Milwaukee right now, and it's just it's great for the city and it's great for everything.
Have you been to the new arena yet, Eric?
Yes, actually, I tweeted you guys at the fan yesterday. I think I was at the Metallica show on Tuesday, and unbelievable place. I mean,
how was the? How was the Wi-Fi in there?
Actually, my Wi-Fi was fantastic because I took a lot of videos and
awesome
Snapchats and all that stuff. I thought it was fantastic. I know I've heard some people were saying there's a lot of problems or issues with it, but.
Yeah, I've heard the exact same thing that you heard, that there were a lot of problems and issues. But as time goes on, I figured they were going to straighten that out and fix that as time went on. So good. Maybe they got it fixed then. That's good.
Yeah, I thought it was awesome. I mean, and just unbelievable place. I mean, just state of the art.
It's not the Bradley Center, is it?
No, not even close.
Not even. There's like nothing even similar between the two. Nothing at all.
Bradley Center is basically just, you know, cement and metal and
right.
Like, you know, a couple big drapes and cloths here and there, but I mean, you have literally every restaurant, bar, any kind of entertainment.
Yeah, it's awesome. Hey, man, thanks for the call, Eric. Appreciate it. I got to get to Lamont on the north side before we get to a flash. Lamont, north side, what's up, man?
Sparky, how you doing, man?
Doing good. You got some information on this Chick-fil-A thing?
Yeah, I was there at the preseason game against the Bulls. I didn't go tonight, but when I was there, it was labeled Chick-fil-A. It just wasn't open.
Yeah, and when I was there, it was labeled Fry House. No sign of a Chick-fil-A sign anywhere. And the lady said that they weren't serving food that day. The Fry House stand was open. They were serving fries. But the actual food itself was not being served, and there was no sign. So I have no idea what's going on with that. No clue.
And I don't know. But
doesn't really matter to me if they're there or not. But it was just, I mean, you publicize it the way they publicize it, that it was going to be there. Not open on Sundays, obviously, and then it wasn't open for the scrimmage, and it wasn't labeled.
For sure, man. Hey, I know you got to get going, but I didn't go to the game, man. I've been to 23 home openers in a row, man, 23 years. The streak broke tonight because I wanted my wife and son to experience this, man. But it's a beautiful night here in Milwaukee, man. Game 7 tomorrow for the Brewers.
Experience what? Oh. What did you want them to experience?
I mean, my wife hasn't been to a home opener in years, and I wanted my son to be part of history. You know
so
what I mean?
They went and you stayed home?
I stayed home, man.
Man, look at you. That's awesome. Good, you're a good man, just like I always knew. Good job, Lamont. That's good stuff. Hey, buddy, be good. Take care. Everybody knows Lamont. Lamont's a good man. Okay, let's get to a sports flash with Anthony Mandela. We'll come back. We'll hear from Coach Budenholzer up next here on The Fan.
We know you can do that.
Listening to the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show. What play had you screaming? Brought to you by Palermo Screaming Sicilian Premium Frozen Products and Kraft Pizzas.
Bucks get the win tonight over the Indiana Pacers. A nice win at that. Really was never any doubt as to far as who was going to win this one. Bucks pretty much had control. From the outset, well, maybe not the outset. They missed like their first six shots of the game, but once they got the lead, it was pretty much done. 118 to 101, Bucks over the Indiana Pacers tonight, leading the way. Giannis 26 points tonight, 15 boards, 5 assists for him. And you'd have thought, well, Giannis probably had you screaming tonight, huh, Spark? Yeah, I mean, he had some good shots, but come on, man, John Henson, come on. Go ahead.
This is where the shot clock resets to 14 after that offensive board. It's down to one. Gotta take you one. Take you one, big fella. 3-pointer. Don't just be a 3-point taker. Be a 3-point maker.
There you go. Paschke and Marcus Johnson. John Henson hitting 2 3-point shots in this game. 2 3-point shots as the Bucks win 118 to 101.
Let's hear from the head coach. This segment is sponsored by Schneider. For over 80 years, they've been offering great careers with great benefits and more home time. Visit SchneiderJobs.com or call 1-800-44-PRIDE. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
All right, so there you go. Bucks get the win. Let's hear from Coach Budenholzer after this one.
A lot of guys played well, a lot of good effort, more activity at times, and I think Eric Bledsoe continues to set a tone for us defensively, guarding you know, some great players to start out the season, and just, you know, pleased with his kind of at the point of attack and everybody behind him. So, you know, we'll, I guess we'll look at the film and try and keep getting better.
It looked like after the first couple minutes, you guys made a slight adjustment maybe to attacking the paint a little bit more. Was that a conscious effort to kind of get you guys going?
I think the first couple minutes, I don't know what it was. We were on another planet or something like that. So I think it was just, they just kind of settled in. I'm sure a lot of people are excited about playing first home game, home opener. Sometimes it's just can be a little strange to start with. And I wouldn't say there was any adjustment. The guys just, you know, they started making plays. And we do want to get to the paint, you know, but it wasn't like we didn't want to do it for the first, you know, however many. So the more we can get to the paint, the more we can attack the basket, collapse the defense, and find shooters, you know, that's when we're going to be really good.
Obviously, after the Charlotte game, we talked about Kemba Walker, Victor Oladipo tonight. What did you think of the job that you guys did on him?
Yeah, you know, he's such a good player. They're both such good players. You know, hopefully we're making them work hard for their shots, making them, you know, really kind of, you know, and maybe taking away, you know, some of the other options for the team, other offensive opportunities. And you know, sometimes it's a little bit of a struggle, but you know, I would say for the most part, you know, even though those guys are getting a lot of shots, we feel like they're contested, they're difficult, making them work for their baskets.
A lot of Bucks fans aren't used to seeing John Henson chuck up threes. What can he add to your offense, and what did you like about his performance tonight?
Yeah, you know, I think, you know, John's ability to impact the game defensively has obviously stood out. I'm getting to know him and appreciate what he brings to the game, working with him every day. And then offensively, you know, just trying to expand his game, giving him some confidence, give him some freedom. And, you know, I felt like both of them were kind of big shots. You know, and I think sometimes, you know, either the opponent or just, you know, like you mentioned, maybe the fans don't expect it. It just gives you even more momentum when you get a contribution and you get threes from somebody like John. But I like his shot blocking, his rebounding. I think he has a knack for passing and playing. So he's a good basketball player.
We always hear that a team will take what the defense gives you. But I can't imagine defenses these days want to give up 47 three-point attempts. Is this going to be your team's identity and something you're always going to be looking for?
Well, you know, I mean, I think wrapped within the question is a little bit the answer. I think, you know, to some degree, if we're attacking the paint, we're attacking the basket, and we're getting great shots there, then we'll take them. If, you know, if there's going to be rotations, there's going to be helps, there's going to be shifts, and there's opportunities to shoot threes, then we'll take those. You know, so I think, you know, we're fortunate. We got, you know, several guys I think that can get to the basket, that can collapse the defense, that can create rotations. And then we got to have great spacing and guys ready to catch it and shoot it behind those guys or around those guys.
Giannis tracks it down and jams.
There's always something unexpected that changes the game.
It's going to be crazy, man.
Here's tonight's X Factor of the Game.
Brought to you by Bryant & Stratton College Athletics. Offering athletic scholarships in 9 junior college sports. Learn more at bscbobcats.com.
All right, Bucks, dig at the win, 118-101, X-Factor. I may be wrong on this, Anthony Mandela, but I think the X-Factor for this year, game to game, is going to be, can they hit their threes?
I've never seen them. John Henson out there shooting threes. This is great.
Everybody's going to shoot threes. Everybody is going to shoot threes on this team, and they're told to. Budo's already messing around. I don't care if you shoot air balls. I don't care if you shoot the ball off the top of the backboard, side of the rim. Just keep shooting. If you're open, shoot it. And that's going to open up a lot of assists for different guys that can penetrate, like Middleton, Bledsoe, Giannis, to kick to shooters around them in the corners. And if you look at this box score, you would have thought it was reverse, because the Bucks were normally the team shooting 18 to 20 threes in a game, and the other team was shooting 35 to 40 threes in a game, and then you lose. How many times did you hear Ted Davis go, well, it's awfully hard to catch up when the other team makes three and you only make two, right? How many times did you hear Ted do that?
I couldn't tell you how many times, because it was seemingly every night.
Right, and tonight you heard the exact opposite. Dennis Kreizer's like, well, I like this. We hit a three, they make a two. It's going to be awfully hard for them to catch up this way. And I think Ted started chuckling, like, yeah, how many times have we said that in the last few years? And it's so true if you think about it. at the end of the day. All right, we'll take a quick timeout. We'll come back, continue on. 118-101, Bucks over the Pacers.
Who's banged up on the Bucks?
Once I felt I could put weight on it, I was like, I had to get back out there.
This is the McCormick Law Office Milwaukee Injury Report. McCormick Law Office, the back injury attorneys.
Bucks get the win tonight in rather easy fashion. 118-101 over the Indiana Pacers. Now 2-0 on the year. Next up, the New York Knicks coming up on Monday night. Injury report, all good. Thankfully, no issues to speak of tonight for the Milwaukee Bucks from an injury standpoint. Everybody appears to be in pretty good shape after two games. Hopefully this injury report segment doesn't become a segment where I have to talk for 5 minutes about everybody that's hurt at some point later in the basketball season. So good news there on the injury front for sure. And now I can't get this thing to work. That's all right.
What about the next game? What do you expect from this team now? Time for some forward thinking. Sponsored by Forward Financial Partners. Moving forward together. Find your way at ffpwi.com.
All right, so the Bucks get the win tonight. Next up, as I stated, the New York Knicks, who aren't a very good basketball team, especially when there is no Porzingis. They lose tonight in Brooklyn to the Nets, 107-105. 29 points for Cantor, along with 10 rebounds for them. Tim Hardaway Jr. had 29 points as well. 17 for Kevin Knox, the rookie. And that's it. Nobody else hit double figures outside of those three. So that's who the Bucks have coming up Monday night at home, as the Bucks will head into that matchup 2-0.
This guy's on the inside. After every game, listen to the Pick and Save Pro Hoops postgame show for the latest from JS Online's Matt Velasquez. Brought to you by the law offices of Thomas Morola. This is Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
The postgame debut of Matt Velasquez here on The Fan. Matt, thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, glad to be talking with you, Sparky.
Okay, so first things first, I was asking people before you came on, I'll ask you the same thing. Give me one thing that you are really liking so far from this team after two games, and one thing that you're really liking about the new arena.
All right, well, one thing I'm liking about the Bucks is just the offense seems to have a really good flow to it. Obviously, got off to a little bit of a slow start there in the first couple minutes. Then after that, you know, everything was kind of humming, and they were doing what they needed to do. They were driving the paint. Kicking out the shooters and the defense collapsed, making shots, just really playing at a high level there on offense. And in terms of Pfizer form, I think, you know, I mean, what's there not to like? I mean, everything in the facility is brand new and awesome, and it gets really loud in there, and they have ice cream in the media room, so life is good.
What as far as from that standpoint, have you been able to – well, I mean, it's only one game, obviously. As far as what it sounds like – when the fans get into it versus what it was like, say, at the Bradley Center?
You know, I think it's, you know, pretty comparable, which is fairly impressive considering the fact that there's fewer people, you know, in a sellout at Pfizer Forum than there would be at a sellout in the Bradley Center. I think, you know, the sound system is a little bit louder here, but the crowd, is just the way that this place is built, all the sound goes to the court and it kind of reverberates, so it's you know, it definitely gets loud in here. I know it got really loud when John Henson ended the third quarter with a three, which, you know, I think that's totally warranted.
That's just crazy. This whole thing is going to take me some getting used to. I got to admit, look, we've watched Bucks basketball for how long? And you're shooting 30, 40 threes in a game and telling everybody on the team, go ahead and shoot. Don't worry about it. You're good. Doesn't matter how far behind the three-point line you are. Just chuck it up and see what happens. It's going to take some getting used to, I think, for Bucks fans. But if they keep winning, I think everybody will get down with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's what it's all about. You want guys shooting shots they're comfortable in, confident in, and to add to the team. And, you know, Giannis was saying, you know, when asked about, you know, Henson and everybody being – able to shoot threes, that, hey, that's a credit to the coaching staff. You know, they've instilled that confidence into everybody. And you see that, you know, paying dividends already just a couple games into the season. I mean, you're going to see literally, you know, every guy on the team has the ability to put up a three-point shot, and that's just going to help because defenses have to respect that at some point. And if they don't, they're just going to give up wide-open threes.
Talk with Matt Velasquez of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. He'll be joining us after games throughout the year here on the post-game show. Got one more for you. Are you surprised that to start the season, Dellavedova is essentially at the end of the bench?
A little bit, but I think that when you look at what Mike Budenholzer, you know, prizes in his guards, is he wants guys who can be, you know, incredibly versatile and dynamic, you know, and that's what you get with Bledsoe and Brogdon and DiVincenzo too. I mean, you're getting guys who do more than one thing well. You know, Dellavedova might, you know, do a few things, like, you know, maybe he might pass the ball or just, you know, have that veteran court vision or savvy, whatever, then maybe DiVincenzo doesn't have yet. But, you know, Dante's in there, you know, hit that chase down block that got called, you know, as a foul, you know, but still an impressive athletic play, something that Deli's not going to do. You know, he moves well without the ball. He moves well with the ball. He's going to, you know, pull that quick trigger three and really kind of keep up with guys on defense. And he's kind of gotten thrown into the fire, having to help defend Kemba and then Oladipo today. But, you know, for a rookie, he's handled it pretty well. So, you know, it's a little bit strange to see Deli kind of marooned out there on the bench, but you know, if the guys ahead of him are playing the way that they have, then that's what it's going to be.
Yeah, no question. He is Matt Velasquez of the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, joining us on each post game show as we go throughout the year. Matt, thanks so much for coming on, man. Looking forward to the rest of the year.
Yeah, it's going to be a great year. Thanks for having me, Sparky.
You betcha. Take care. There is Matt Velasquez, the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Start your renovation journey with a simple and convenient pre-approval from Great Midwest Bank, dedicated to providing perfectly personalized home loans to those right here in our community since 1935.
Heading into the Bucks locker room to hear what the players saw on the court. Sponsored by Precision Sports. Specializing in the delivery, installation, removal, and repair of basketball hoops, exercise equipment, game tables, and backyard playgrounds. Go to PrecisionSportsOnline.com.
All right, so there you go. 118-101, Bucks over the Pacers. Let's dip into the locker room and hear what Giannis had to say after this one.
I'm probably not going to feel it right now. I'll probably feel it tomorrow. When I wake up, I'm definitely going to feel that. But I'm fine.
What was it like just playing at Pfizer Forum with a full packed house for the first time?
It was great. The energy was great. The atmosphere was fun. The fans was into it. It was packed. It was great. You know, I was looking at the crowd right before the game started, and it was a great feeling, you know, seeing everybody, you know, having fun, having their phones out, being to the game, so it was really good.
Like 10, 20 years from now, we're going to kind of think about this day as like the start of a new era of Bucks basketball, a new coach, a new arena. Does any of that like go through your head where you're like, okay, this is the start of kind of something new, something exciting?
Yeah, definitely. As you said, new arena, new practice, the new coach. I've said in the past, is this the right time to be a Buck? And I'm blessed, and you know, that I have the opportunity to be this team. You know, playing this wonderful arena to these wonderful fans, and hopefully we can achieve our goals and have a great season so everything can, you know, click together.
What does it mean to you that you're kind of the headliner of that new era? Like, this will be like the Giannis and Bud era.
But I'm just here to play basketball.
Giannis, how do you see the Bucks kind of fitting into the fabric of the East, and what do you see the ceiling for this team?
This team is, we have a great team. We can play great basketball at times, and I feel we can beat any team at any night. We have a really, really good opportunity to do great stuff this year, so hopefully we can work hard, you know, go back and work in our craft, in our game plan, and being able to execute and compete every night, and I think we're going to do great in the East.
There he is, Giannis, coming off yet another big night for the Milwaukee Bucks tonight as they roll the Indiana Pacers 118-101. Giannis, 26 points, 15 boards, 5 assists, 2 steals, a block, 6 turnovers, 0 of 7 from 3-point range on 12 of 23 shooting. Take a quick timeout, come back, give you the big shot of the game. Look ahead to the Knicks here on The Fan.
This is the Pick and Save Milwaukee Pro Hoops postgame show. Let's get tonight's Dave & Buster's shot of the game. Dave & Buster's Wauwatosa. Eat, drink, play, and watch sports. This is the only station Bucks fans need. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Just Bucks. Love this, the music he's got. This is just some good stuff. Good opens this year. 118-101 Bucks over the Indiana Pacers. Let's get our shot of the game, courtesy of Anthony Mandela in Fox Sports Wisconsin.
And it's Giannis at the rim.
Great movement on the curl. Giannis just kind of playing the dunker down there on the right baseline. And good find from Chris Middleton. That is your first basket in five-serve form.
There you go, 118-101, Bucks over the Indiana Pacers tonight. Thanks for tuning in and listening. Don't forget, after this Brewers game is done, Tim Allen, Baby Tausch sitting in the studio waiting to hop aboard. We'll talk about a team possibly headed to Game 7, the NLCS tomorrow night. That game time will be 7:09. So the On Deck Show from 5 to 7 tomorrow night with Tim and Baby Tausch, if that happens, and then the post game after. Enjoy the rest of your night, everyone. Good night. Bucks win 118-101. Next postgame show against the Knicks. Bucks Knicks at home. Lots of tickets available if you go to the different resale sites, and you can get them pretty cheap. There's your tip. Good night.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.